Well, I greet this morning from Nepal, from Pokhara, Nepal, and God has been gracious. However, I'm not at the best of my health today. I just feel a little bit congested, bit of a heavy chest, I think because of the cold, yeah. But I welcome you all during this time. May grace and peace be with all of you as it's our first meeting today, and I just pray that the Lord just help us. It's so good to see Pastor Sachin. I know he's been journeying with me for the last week or so, and I know he got home late last night, and I wasn't expecting him this morning, but I thank God for his faithfulness, for the deep desire to wanting to travel with me. And yes, this trip was very challenging because he was quite sick during this trip, and then when he left, he made sure he leave it with me and go. And so now I've been affected with that same heavy chest and all of that. But greetings to all of you in Jesus' name, and a warm welcome again. And it's so good to see you all. It's our first meeting today, and so we might not have all that we desire to be part of this meeting, but nevertheless we will continue. So as we've entered into the new year, resolutions and all aside, we need to look to Jesus again in a with a greater passion, because truly without the Lord our lives will be so empty. Once again, I ask today, can everybody hear me? Amen.
Yes, yes,
Yeah,
yes.
thank you. Just a reminder, the Pentecostal season was a very powerful season. And I was born in that season. It was a very powerful season. I have no regrets of being in the Pentecostal season. But since the Pentecostal season came, the charismatic season. And somehow in the charismatic season, God's decided to reveal much more, and we found there were great gifts established, and the move of God was established in a greater dimension. There was a greater upsurge in the ministry all over the world. I mean, a greater influence of the Lord over people based on all the wonderful things that happened in the charismatic season. And as we know, seasons last for a time. It's an epoch. Then in the 90s, the apostolic season was born. And as we know, it was born, as we believe, this thing started in South Africa, in more Durban, South Africa, and it has taken root into many nations of the world. And the apostolic has come with a greater revelation. A deeper understanding of what Paul meant when Paul said that it's time to unpack the mysteries of God. And so this reformation, although it has taken root in many parts, many people are still grappling, many people still battling to understand what the reformation is all about. And Isaiah makes it very clear what is required of us, and I think that what I take strongly from Isaiah 58 is that we need to become repairers of the breach. Now, the word breach might be a swear word in the Pentecostal charismatic season, because as they every season feels they were at their greatest. But God is not at the same place; He's moving. He's the same God. But God is on the move, and he's taking us to greater levels of knowledge and understanding of who He is, what His desires are, what the will of God is. And as I see growth within the circles that I operate in, I'm amazed with some of the things that God has revealed. And even as we travel the nations and speak to different ministers that have been in the ministry, 20, 25 years, some over 30 years, And normally, 30 is a number of maturity. We think when you come 30 years in the ministry, you'd be matured. But yes, many people have matured naturally, but spiritually speaking, yes, I would say they're still grappling. They're still trying to find out. And when they hear this word, they're amazed. And it doesn't make us great, but this is supposed to make us humble, supposed to bring an increase of humility, that we bring it not to show that we are holier than thou, but we bring it to you to let you know God has a greater plan, God has greater things in store for us. So the Apostolic Reformation is all about declaring war against the inaccurate. So it's difficult to go to people that have been long in the ministry and say to them, some of the things you're teaching is now redundant, it's inaccurate anymore. God has given us a clearer picture of these things that are happening. And even as here, again, Sasha did most of the preaching, and I sit and I listen to him preach, and I see and I look at the faces of the people, and during the times of my dialogue, they're amazed because the message is simple, but it's so convicting. The message is so penetrating. These things were not revealed. To us, it's simple, but to these people, it's like a new, something brand spanking new. It's wow. How come we didn't see this before? And this is a continuous thing in our journey that we see this. So we got to explain from scratch as these things happen. So I want to encourage those of you that are connected to our circles that while we were here, Pastor Sachin has committed to start the Bible school, ABC Bible School, and we're going to start it very soon. In the next week or so, we will be starting this Bible school, and this will be open to all our sons, wherever they are positioned, to join in. Even if you're not directly my son, you're Sashin's sons, you could be Desigan's sons, you could be, Ravi's son, anyone. But we're going to do a structured Bible study for your benefit. And so this, for you to enjoy the full benefits of what's going to be taught. We can't only have faithfulness coming from the teacher, from the one that is being ordained, that is being called out to bring the message and to unpack the mysteries of God through the teachings of the ABC. You have to be faithful. You have to be committed, because this is done for you. It's not done to make the one that presents the teaching a greater person. No, the person that's teaching carries the burden. Got to spend hours in preparing the lesson for you. So this is a meal being prepared for you, a spiritual meal. You have to be, please, you got to be faithful. You can't come one day, miss one day, come one day, listen to tapes and say, I got this. Yes, we're all making journeys. I'm on a journey now. And I committed to start today, and I've started today. Okay, and next week, Monday, I'll be in another country. But I'm committed, because I understand you guys will be waiting to hear. So please, please, I say with all humility, be faithful this year. Be faithful. We can't be asking the same questions over and over and over again. We're going to be teaching. I don't want you to miss it, because not because I'm a governor that wants to control your life. It's for your own benefit, because you are a shepherd. You have sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. When you come and you sit under divine correction of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit unpacks and provokes you to think deeper, to study at greater lengths, go into greater lengths into studying, make more time for the Word of God. Who's going to benefit? Your sheep, your people. That's ultimately every one of us belong to God. All of us are sons of God. Who's going to benefit? You will benefit. Because now you've been upgraded. God has opened the eyes of your understanding. You have been downloaded with wisdom. Now you come to a place of deeper understanding. But now you take it. You break it down into small, small pieces, palatable pieces, so that you feed your sheep, so that the sheep can eat and digest and understand. So, So in a few years from today, all of us will be in a place of equality. Equalization will come to the church, that the sheep and the shepherd have become one. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. At one move of his staff, the sheep will understand which direction they have to go. And staff is a picture of authority. You don't have a staff in your hand, but your voice becomes your staff. Your voice becomes your authority. When you speak, they know which direction you're taking, and they follow that direction carefully. And so this is what it's all about. So during this time, even with the audience, whoever you're speaking to, they reject your message. And this is quite common in the early stages. They will reject your message. They will question you. They will call you privately a false teacher, a false prophet. They would say all manner of things against you. But don't change your message to suit the people. Your message mustn't change. No matter how hard the message is, it mustn't change. You stick to your message. Your message is a kingdom message. Your message is from God. As long as you are satisfied that you've spent time with the word of the Lord, you have given everything that you possibly can in studying God's word. And when you present your table before them, it's the table of the Lord. It's what God downloaded into your system. You first was convicted. When you studied the word, great conviction came upon you, and you continued to study. And then when you digest this, that you realize this conviction is going to make you a better person, then you present that to your people, because that God gives you whatever he gives you to upgrade you, not for yourself, but for your people, your sheep. Your sheep must be upgraded. Your sheep must be in greener pastures. If Jesus says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what that means? If Jesus, he is your shepherd, if he is your God, if he's the one that's leading you, you will never want anything in life. Nothing in life. Because once you have him, you have everything that you possibly need. Even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of circumstances, even in the lack of money, even in the lack of things, you have Jesus, which means you are number one. You are with Christ. You are a victory maker, or you have enjoyed victory already because you are one with him. But the circumstances seems as if you're a failure. Moments it looked like Jesus is a failure going to the cross, that he couldn't overtake the challenges of the cross. But no, he was not there. He was one with the Father, and he understood the message of the Father, that this has to be accomplished so that he can go down, descend, go into Hades, destroy the works and the power of the enemies, and then take the keys, and then promise to Peter, "I have keys for you. I'll give you keys." And the keys, what the key is? Keys are, I'll give you wisdom coming out of the word that will become a key for you to unlock doors. When you unlock doors, the heavens open for you. The heavens will open for you. And so you don't change your message. Nothing must separate you. No matter how much conviction or how much a rejection you have, mustn't separate you from the word God placed in your heart. We are building the tabernacle of David. We need to understand that clearly. There's an assignment, okay? It's a time to engage with the Holy Spirit to understand what it means to be building the tabernacle of David. And when we engage with the Holy Spirit will reveal to those who choose to be around you, even the people that are around you. Holy Spirit will do that. What will the Holy Spirit reveal to you? What are the delays of those that are around you coming into dominion? God wants us to come into dominion. He wants in every aspect we need to come into dominion. What is Acts 2:42? Our ministry, this apostolic reformation, is based on Acts 2:42. So Acts 2:42 must be deeply understood, must be very deeply. You must understand, dissect every word in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And Acts 2:42 must become the basis of our building pattern. That must become foundational in this reformation, where God adds to your ministry, to your life. God added peace to your marriage. God adds finances to you. God adds to the church. Everything God adds, God will make, God will ask you to make. These are important statements God made to Abraham. I will make you, to Noah, make for yourself. God will speak to you a different path. God might tell you, depart from this place, come to this place. God will tell you, don't depart from this place, like he did to Paul. Every journey was orchestrated by God. So our building pattern must be orchestrated by God. God must lead. If God leads us, God's going to protect us. If God is protecting us, no enemy will be able to destroy us. If God is able to protect us from destruction, he's going to add to us, which means he's preserved us for a plan. He's preserved us for a purpose. And that plan and that purpose, church, only we know. It must be a ministry between you and God. You must speak. You must find your secret place. You must enter your secret place. The secret place is not a building. The secret place is when you, wherever you are, when you have lost the world and entered Christ. That's a secret place. When you're oblivious to what's happening around you, nothing around you matters. There's trouble in the camp, and children can trouble you. Your business can trouble you. Your workplace can trouble you. Your marriage can be a problem. Finances are a problem. But you come to, when you go into the secret place, nothing matters. When Moses was in the secret place on the mount, all the tamasha that was taking place down in the bottom, Aaron losing his authority, Aaron unable to control the people instructing him, the people complaining. Moses was in a secret place, but it was revealed to him what was happening now. That's why the Lord suddenly told him, go down now, Moses. This is enough. But while he was there and never heard from God, he was hearing what God was saying to him. He was enjoying the bliss of God, the presence of God. You have to enter your secret place. And your secret place can be when you depart from everything else, open your scriptures, get lost in the word of God. And that as you eat of the word of God, as you drink of his spirit, as you weep before God, as the word of God takes root in you, as the word of God starts to be engraved in your heart, nothing else matters. Nothing. The phone can ring. This can ring. Anybody can call you. You're oblivious. You don't. Only thing you hear is the sound, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into your life, unveiling the mysteries of God, unpacking the mysteries of God. We have to come to such a place. We have to come to such a place. We have to engage with the Holy Spirit. We have to persevere until we hear his voice. Like Jacob, he wrestled. He said, I will not leave you. I will never stop this wrestling with you until you bless me. And that's a secret place. Whenever you come out of a secret place, you're not the same person. You come out charged. You come out blessed because you demanded the bless. You place a great demand on God. You're showing him your faithfulness. You're showing him how much you love him, how much you want to be a person that will be an accurate leader, accurate building, able to build accurately so that the people can be in a safe place. We have to build a safe tower. Everywhere we gather must become a safe tower. When people come into that place, they must feel safe. They have to feel safe. We've got to build. We've got to come to this place. We've got to understand what is the building pair. What material do we use to build a safe tower? So when people come into this place, they are in a safe place. This is not a place to murmur, not a place to gossip, not a place to backbite. It's not such a place. It's a safe place. It's a place where when you come in, you can just kick off your shoes and say, Lord, I stand on holy ground. This is where you want me. Today I'm safe because I'm in a safe place. And the safest place all of us can be in is Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, this is what it says in Acts 2:42. I'm going to read it for the benefit of all of us today. Acts 2:42, reading from 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine. Steadfastly means they continued without murmur. They continued without complaining. It was not a struggle to continue. It was no struggle to them. It was a deep desire for them to continue in such a fashion. To delve in doctrine was a passionate thing. was something they loved. So steadfastly, they continued in apostles' doctrine, followed by fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. So when they did that, you see, when they did that, it meant they followed a structured building pattern that was downloaded by the Holy Spirit. Verse 43, then fear came upon them and every soul, not to some souls or the leaders only or the chosen people. No. The Bible says after they did what they did steadfastly, when they did it, when they served God steadfastly, no murmuring, then only fear came upon every soul. Which means when they built, according to Acts 2:42, they built a safe tower. So when people came into the safe tower, the presence of God fell upon them. And the presence of God manifested, fear came upon every soul. And the Bible says many wonders, many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Amen. So this is so important that how these things happen. Amen. Now the Bible says, taking you back to the first book of Samuel, chapter 17 and verse number 40. Let's see how 1 Samuel 17:40 links with Acts 2:42. Okay, let's just see how where's the if you look at the two and see how one affects the other, because we're building the tabernacle of David. So it says here, then he took his staff in his hand. This is David, right? And David took his staff in his hand. What is staff? Whatever is rod or the thing he stood. His staff was his authority. Okay, he took it in his hand, right? And he chose for himself 5 smooth stones. And he took it from the brook, which means the brook is water. What is the word? So he found 5 stones on the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near the Philistine. He drew near the Philistine, which means, if you look at this now, the staff in his hand, which is firstly authority. Then he chose himself for 5 stones. It means to fight the enemy, he chose grace over natural weapons. Because remember, Saul put the armor on him, he took the armor. So what he chose? He chose grace. Okay? And then he went and he chose grace from where? It's the Bible says, 5 smooth stones from the brook, which means he took grace from the word. So he built himself up with the word. Word gave him the grace he needs to overcome. And then he put them in the shepherd's bag, right? In a pouch, which he had his sling, his weapon. And then he drew near. So David used, firstly, grace to bring the Goliath down. We're talking about all of that, 5 stones. Then he was left with 4 stones. Means what was left was the apostolic to enter dominion. He used grace to destroy Goliath. The 4 is a picture of apostolic, picture of apostolic, and apostolic brings you to dominion. And we know David came into dominion. Okay, he could have chosen 1 stone because God doesn't miss. But why 5? These are not just for the sake of thing, right? Then firstly, staff. When he took staff, he took doctrine. Staff is a picture, is aligned it to doctrine. Because doctrine is authority. Doctrine brings you to dominion. That's why staff is, he took his staff, is authority. Then he took the 5 stones, right? It means grace, but it also means fellowship. I'm linking it to Acts 2:42. Shepherd's bag was a bread bag. Carries the bread in the bag, right? Sling was prayer. Why would sling be prayer? A sling shoots out a stone to hit target. Our prayers must be directed to Christ, to the heavenlies. And when our prayers penetrate the heavenlies, penetrates the atmosphere, it hits a target. And what is that? When it hits a target, we receive the answer. And the answer means we receive from God. So prayer, you see, this is just symbolic language. Talking to you, what it stands for. So, but can you see In those days, that mystery has been unpacked more clearly in Acts 2:42. But now that from hindsight that we have 2:42 and we have 1 Samuel, we can now understand that how important these things are. How God, the operating system of Christ, is from the beginning. It's not a new thing. You know, my transition from an institutional background to building an autonomous church was not easy. And I'm sure all of you would have experienced that. This is not an easy task. And I had some very, very tough decisions to make during this transition. I had many leaders inviting me to join them. Come and join our organization. Come and join our circle. Come and join our network. But I had to walk with God. And I had to seek the face of God. My spiritual walk, transitioning into the apostolic, really was a tough decision. Because why it became more tough? Because my decision is going to affect my whole family. You know, coming out of a strong Pentecostal charismatic background, my children even understood the Pentecostal background. They were steeped in it as well. So now I realize I have to make a decision that will take me to another level. And I have to make a decision so that there's no regrets in what I do. And that this decision that I make has to set me free to operate in autonomy, in Christ, in the presence of God. I had to make that decision. Not that I don't have or don't want or didn't want accountability. I had accountability there. But in fact, I did realize after communicating in regards to some of the things needed in the apostolic that the level of accountability is going to be much greater. But I thank God when He opened the eyes of my understanding. I thank God when I received my sight. You know, I can give you many testimonies because you know when I accepted this, we had about close to 300 people, 250, 300 people, but we were down to when I accepted this, the people just walked out of the church and drove. They thought we invented a cult. They walked out of the church and drove, and we were left with 50 people, mostly children and youth. It was just about 12 or 13 adults. And not all of them were working. And by this time, I had committed. I just bought the land. I bought the land with my own money. Not the church money. I bought the land with my own money. I committed my own money. 5 acres of land I bought. And these people all walk away. And, you know, I might have mentioned before, the USA came into provide all the finance. And Dr. Segi said to me, don't take $1 from the old season. Don't touch $1 from the old season. Build on your own. Trust God. And lo and behold, we've built the church. The 5 acres of land was bought then. The church building is free. It's all freehold standing there. Many years later, I speak today. So it's a decision that I made, but I received my sight. God had opened the eyes of my understanding. And, you know, in the same manner, you know, the way my heart bled, the way I wept bitter tears when I was introduced to Pastor Malcolm, and Pastor Ravi introduced me to Pastor Malcolm. And, you know, trying to meet Malcolm, I think I made about 3 or 4 trips to Dubai because he was a very Pentecostal, charismatic believer. And he was a powerful preacher at that time. And he was very busy in business. He was doing a lot of business in Dubai. So it was very easy, very difficult for me to meet him because he's a big businessman. But he didn't even know that I was also a businessman, but a greater passion for the Lord. But when I introduced this message to Dubai, the whole church left. So I know how he suffered. But this is not easy. This is not easy. So our mission is Matthew's 11, chapter 11, verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We are not apologists. We don't make apology for what we preach, for the message we deliver. But when the Bible says the violent take it by force, this is not becoming a Peter and taking your sword and cutting the Romans' ear off. No. No, this is warfare in the spirit. You fight the battle in the spirit and let the Lord do the rest. The Lord knows how to bring people down. So we have to pray, we all of us, that our coming into dominion, we come into dominion not to become great people, not to become dictators. We come into dominion to help others to rule in the midst of the enemies. Because all of us have enemies, you know. So we come into dominion to teach dominion, to bring others into dominion, to help them, to assist them, how they will rule in the midst of the enemies. So we must not solicit, but we must be sought out. We don't have to go there. What I mean, we don't have to go looking. They will come looking. This is what God meant when he said, God added daily to the church. God will prompt others to come to you. You don't have to go and pouch other people, poach, or do all that. No, God will add to the church. God will add to the church. Amen. This is what the Lord says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. You know, some of these scriptures I give you can study it in your own time. It says in 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. Now, this is not just giving you wisdom, not just a download of wisdom, as you know what to do with it. He'll give you the spirit of wisdom, which means the Holy Spirit in a dimension of wisdom, where the Holy Spirit leads, guide to all of that. And revelation, because the Holy Spirit is our greatest teacher. He will reveal things. So this is what that spirit, that Holy Spirit, some of us have the Holy Spirit resident in us, but not awake in us, because we are asleep from the truth of God. We don't spend enough time with God. So the Lord, God will give us the spirit of wisdom, of revelation, in the knowledge of him. That means, who's the revelator? Who's the revelator? He talks about John earlier on, right? Since the day. Who's the revelator? John came as a revelator. Now today we are. We through the Holy Spirit, start to reveal the and unpack the mysteries of God. And we can only do that through warfare, right? To spiritual warfare. So he says, what is going to be revealed? Christ must be revealed. Christ must be revealed. We're not revealing how great we are, how powerful we are. No, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is given to us so that we see Christ. We have a greater knowledge of Christ. When we preach Christ, we can preach him crucified, resurrected, seated at God the right hand. All authority has been given to him in the heavens, on the earth, and below. Everything has been entrusted to him. And one day, we have to believe that God will make our enemies our footstool, meaning that our enemies will be under our feet. Under our feet. So we need to know that, right? So God wants to do this for us. Now, he wants to do that for us so that verse 18 kicks in. And he says, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. So means understanding as an eye. That unless we see the scriptures from a Christocentric point, we're not going to understand what the scriptures are saying. Some of you are preaching powerful message today because God has opened your eye, the eyes of your understanding. It's not that you became a great student or you became a great scholar. No, it's just because God, in his mercy, opened your eyes of your understanding. So today your understanding of the scripture may be better than some that have been studying it for years or theologians, because this unpacking, it's been by Christ, Christ did this. He did it. He opened the eyes of your understanding so that when you suddenly there was it was enlightened, that means illumination take place. Darkness have to flee, because these things that were hidden in darkness. Suddenly, when the eyes of your understanding was opened, there was an enlightenment. It means an illumination. Why did he do this? That you may know what it is, the hope of his calling. You know what it means? All of us are called. Every one of us are called. But God does this, reveals himself to us in a greater dimension, because he wants you to see for yourself. He wants you to see for yourself his hope of your calling. His hope. The hope of his calling means he has a great hope in you from the time he created you. The hope is still in him that you'll achieve everything that he planned for you, everything that he desired for you. There was a great hope in him. Today he's looking at that. And when he sees you struggling, he's going to make your understanding clearer. He's going to open this up. He's going to cause a greater illumination that you may know. He knows. He knows all things. But now he's giving you this gift so that you will know how important your calling and how much it means to him. Your calling means everything to the Lord. You can't take your calling lightly. You can't mess around with your calling. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're chosen by God. And so he has a hope. He chose you. Now he has a hope that he's placed you, that you will start to see what is his will for your life. Amen. So that's very important, church, that when we get to know him, when he reveals himself to us, we'll understand the hope of his, not our calling, not any man's calling. I know we are being appointed as leaders and we put people in place to perform because we try to discern what God is calling on their life. But God says in Ephesians, Paul speaking, saying, he's saying to every one of us that, listen, the Lord has a hope in your calling and he wants to see the calling fulfilled. Why? When your calling meets up with the expectations of God, when your calling meets with the expectation of God, this is what happens. He's going to reveal to you the riches of his glory. He's going to reveal to you. You're going to see how glorious is the riches from the one who has a hope in your calling. And that he realized that your calling is unique. My calling is not better than your calling. Your calling is not better than your brother's calling. Every one of us has a unique calling. We have our place. He's a gigantic God. He has room for all of us. Amen. We don't have to make room for ourselves. You know what makes room for you and I? Our gift. If the Bible says your gift will make room for you. Now, what is your gift? Your gift is your commitment. Your gift is your covenant. It means nothing will move you. Nothing will shake you. You will serve him in spirit and in truth. This is what must happen. He said that to the Samaritan woman. Don't come here to the well and looking for Jacob, your long gone father. You serve me in spirit and in truth. I'll come to you. This is what it means. What are the riches of his glory? Then this is very important that you understand. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? So when you are called, when you are called to lead, what happens is you bring your people to dominion. And when you bring your people to dominion, they start to see God's inheritance in their life. Come on now, I want you to understand that. That's why he says, every one of you has an inheritance that you might not understand, that might not have been unlocked. These things happen. This scripture is given to us. Paul is teaching the Ephesian church, and it applies to you and I today. What he's saying to us, I'm giving you these things. I want to illuminate you. I want to open up your eyes of your understanding. So you get to understand, I have a great inheritance for you. Every one of you has something God put in you before you were placed in your mother's womb. Now, you placed on the earth. Then you have somebody to watch over you. Your shepherd on earth that represents the shepherd from the heavenlies. And that shepherd must study. That shepherd must face God with fear and trembling, because what he has to do, he has to show every son, every daughter in the house, what is the inheritance of God for them. So the calling is high. The calling is great. The calling, if you want to be Christ-like, it's a high calling. You can't take this thing lightly. My 50th wedding anniversary only happened once in a lifetime. And what happens during time? These are milestones, okay? This is the year of Jubilee. This is golden years, right? What happens? Family want to be together. My children want to celebrate with me. You know, those people that I'm closest to, that I walk close to, right? They want to celebrate with me. But I came to Nepal, irrespective of what that is, what that meant. So what I'm saying to you, it is meaningless. Because if Christ is timeless, I don't know. I can't be sitting at home celebrating 50 years anniversary. But I think God will be more excited if I'm here, where my calling will be more prominent, where my calling will be more explained, where my calling will be more appreciated by my Lord and Savior, because I have reason to be here. And I came here to the cold. I hate the cold. I came. It's a sacrifice, church. We have to practice doctrine steadfastly. We have to continue steadfastly, no matter what comes in our way. Amen? You know, for girls, birthdays are very important. I know men forget. I can't remember my own birthday. Okay? But girls are very, very, they wired like that. Birthday is important. You miss the birthday, finish your trouble. And my daughter's 21st birthday, I wasn't there. I mean, not 21st, on the 21st February her birthday, I wasn't there. 22nd anniversary, I'm not there. Okay? Mom's birthday, July 1st, will be somewhere in Italy. Okay? So, it's meaningless. Because I have to follow the commission of God. I have to follow. He has a hope in my calling. And my calling is to be here, to be there, to be everywhere where God wants me. So whether it's a 30th anniversary or 50th anniversary, don't crown yourself King of Kings. You're not King of Kings. Amen. You're just an ordinary servant of God. So wherever you are, celebrate it. You know, thank God, yeah, at Focus, they celebrated it. I didn't expect that balloons and all that stuff was happening on Saturday. So it was good. Okay. I remember, I think the 45th birthday, I was in Chitwan with Pastor Malcolm and we celebrated it there. You see, so these things are not important. But what's important, where God wants us at a specific time, we've got to be there. That is important. I can't compromise my call. I can't compromise my walk with God because there's a birthday ahead of me, or there's a wedding ahead of me, or there's a funeral ahead of me. Even funerals. I some people, my very close family, my brother-in-law, married my sister. I went to him on his deathbed and I said to the family, look, I'm leaving on a mission. I got to go. I have to leave on this mission. I might not be here for your funeral. Beulah's sister, we've been like this, closest, from the time we got saved, we were like inseparable. And I had to see her and I had to say to her, I'm on this trip now. I've got to go on this mission. And we were coming to Nepal. And I said, what do I do? She said, no, don't stop your journey. Your calling before God is more important than you sitting here and watching me. I don't know how much longer I live. And no sooner we left Durban, she passed on. And we had to send our condolences from here. So nothing must separate you from the love of God. Your calling must be first, must be number one. Amen? So I just want to leave it there. I don't know how long I've been. You know, we're different time zones here. Huh? Mom just says I'm here for 45 minutes. So Let me read another portion of scripture. Genesis 3, verse 9 to 11. Then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Said to Adam, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, this is God saying to Adam, "Who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" God saying to Adam, "Who told you? There's a problem, Adam. I never told you this thing. Where did you get this message from?" And this is what happens in the church today. Many people hear different voices, get different messages. And you come there and you get some message. "But who told you this? I didn't tell you this. Where did you get this message? Who told you you got no clothes? I never opened your eyes to see your nakedness. You were covered by my glory. You were overshadowed by my glory. Who told you that you were naked? Who revealed this thing?" And then he explains to him, "Did you eat from here?" Likewise today, people are saying all sorts of things about you. And God is saying, "Who told you that you're inadequate? Who told you that you can't make it in life? Who told you that you're lazy? Who told you that you're a failure? Who told you that you cannot drive?" You know, my wife, you know, I said that you must go and get your license. "I'm so busy at business, I can't take you shopping. I have to leave, take you shopping." You know, she didn't want to. She said, "I don't think I can drive. I'm too nervous." Who told you that you can't drive? So many people you meet, they say, "No, I don't want to drive. I'm too nervous." Who told you? Because the devil is a liar, he's a thief, he's a robber. Who told you you can't get promoted? Who told you that you don't have what it takes to be in business? Who told you those things? Which voice are you listening to? If God wants to bring you into dominion, if God wants to bring you so that your inheritance can be revealed, who's telling you these things that you're just a normal, ordinary person? You are not called by God. You are not favored by God. Who told you these things? You know, I was driving home in a church combi, going home to have lunch. I was in the but while I was driving, I was worshiping God. I was praying. I was speaking in tongues and praying and talking to the Lord. And I had my concerns. I had some fears. And Lord, you know, time's going on. I'm unemployed. You know, I'm just serving my pastor. You can see me today driving the church combi. You know, where do I go? There are moments I'm visited with feelings of helplessness, hopelessness. Where do I go? And like suddenly, the Lord comes, audible voice, and asks me to start a business. You know, the rest is history. And you know what's the first thing? I have no money. And God says, "Who told you? Who told you that you're not what you don't have what it takes to start a business? Who told you that you have no money?" It's a fear of the people, the circumstances. Who told you? That's the problem with the church today. When you want to do something, you hear the voice of the devil say, "Hey, you can't make it, man. You can't do this thing. You're not, it's not possible." We become ignorant of the things that God wants for us. Because we're clouded by the voice of the devil. And we struggle to believe God, that God has a divine inheritance for us. So we need to understand. So I'm going to leave it here. Amen. Even if we shorten today's service time. But I just want to open it up a little bit and give you an opportunity to share a bit. Maybe just talk about some of the things we just shared now. Let me open it up. Maybe I'll start with Pastor Sachin. I know you just got home last night, but maybe you can just bring a greeting and just tell us a little bit about your journey.
Good morning, Dad. Good morning, family. It's a joy to be with you all this first session for 2025. And to Dr. Ronnie and Pastor Bula, you are in Nepal. We can hear in your voice that you are unwell, but still you are there speaking life into all of us, and just inspiring us with your love and passion to see us grow and come into everything that God has intended. And that really is a beautiful picture that we received this morning. You could have easily, postponed the meeting or asked somebody else to take it, but we love you and we honor you for that, Dad. It is that passion that must move all of us, if I can just make that point this morning. When we talk about, having the heart of your spiritual father, having his mind, the Isosuchos son, having the mind of his father, that is talking about my father's passion must become my passion. What my father loves to see happen in the nations, to see people's lives transformed, to see them migrate into God's plans and purposes, to see the church advance and mature. That is what we must all take this morning. So I really believe 2025 is going to be a very significant year in the nations. All of the sons that are connected in the generations down from this patriarchal mantle that Dr. Ronnie and Pastor Bula are carrying. We are believing God for a great acceleration, multiplication of grace. We mustn't just believe it's going to continue in the same way and just sort of tick along. No, this year there's going to be amazing accelerations, breakthroughs. There's going to be things that are going to be installed in our lives and ministries that we can never do naturally, but it's going to be divine installations. And for us as the sons attending and being faithful, we have to make sure we come under the grace of our fathers, come under their authority, come under so that we can receive the oil that God is bringing upon them, which ultimately flows from them down onto our lives. And in this season of equalization, and that's what Dr. Ronnie started out talking about, the concentration of the oil doesn't weaken as it comes down from the head, down the garments, and right down to the bottom. It actually is the same. It is consistent. The oil is available to everyone. All you have to do is humble yourself and come under. And so, Dad, you spoke about from the days of John the Baptist, the violent will take the kingdom of heaven by force. And that's talking about a violence inside, a passion inside, a drive inside, that we will not look for excuses to miss meetings or miss what God is doing, or, as long as we have a reason not to be present, we won't. No, in everything, we must be violent towards the enemy that tries to distract us, put something else as a priority. We must seek the kingdom with a new level of passion and zeal. And I just want to, that's all I'll say this morning. It's going to be a glorious year as it's our first session. And we're looking forward to all that will come through these meetings. You said so many powerful things this morning, Dad, as well. As us listening, we can go and write down on a page, who told you? And then all the things that are currently our struggles. You don't have enough money to do this. You don't have enough experience to do that. You don't have enough support. You don't have, you don't have, you don't, you're in the wrong country. Your currency is not strong. You must move there. All of these things we must receive this morning and be able to become overcomers. So thank you all, and wonderful to be together. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Bless you. Am I on? Can you hear me? Pastor Malcolm, he's also been sick. Been talking to him. His voice is hoarse and all of that. But I hear from you from Dubai. How's things going in Dubai?
Thank you, Dad. Thank you, family. It was a good start for the church. We have to be word-centered. That is the theme for this year. Word-centered, word-centered. That means we must make every possible means to make sure that the word is inside the church and not with just a few people. Keeping that in mind, we as INCC Dubai, we have launched into teaching the ABC to each and every individual in the church. So we have classes, different classes inside the church, and everybody is learning the ABC together now. And I think as Dad spoke this morning, he spoke his heart. Until and unless you have the word, there is not much you can do. And when you have the word, you are a dynamite in the eyes of God. So
Amen.
the word will help you to penetrate to the next level. The word will make you grow. The word will. So whatever we do, we have conferences, school of ministries, all this we have, that is good. And it is required that we have these school of ministries, but we have to make sure that in our local house, how can we bring the word of God to everyone and equalizing ourselves with each other? There should be no superiority and inferiority people in the church. There should not be some who know the word and so they have the collars up and I know it all. It should be that we all are learners. At any stage of our lives, we keep learning. We want to learn. We continue learning the word of God. And as we teach, we grow into maturity. Maturity will never have an ending. Keep this in mind. Maturity will never have an ending. And if
Amen.
somebody says that it has an ending, then there's something is wrong with them. So
Yes.
we grow into maturity every day. We grow into things every day. We develop things every day. The kingdom of God has to advance through your lives and my lives. And so we can say we are matured sons, but we have not grown into fullness of maturity, which will only happen when we see the Lord face to face. So keeping this in mind, I would like all the elders in the church, as a family of the IM Ministries, let us be word-centered. And this is my challenge to you all. We are in the Silver Jubilee year. 2025 is the Silver Jubilee year. And I want to give you all good news. This Silver Jubilee will not come again in your life. Maybe in my life it will come again, but I don't know in your life it will not come again. So be excited. This Silver Jubilee year, be excited. God is doing a mighty thing. And there is something special of this year. And we cannot let it go just like that. Don't let it go just like that.
Amen.
God is doing mighty things in the midst of us. God
Amen.
bless you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That is a very powerful statement. Maturity never ends.
Yes.
Very, very powerful.
Amen.
Until Jesus comes, maturity will not end. So we just keep growing every day in Christ. How about India? Pastor David, what's happening in India?
Good morning, family. It is so great to be with you all once again. Yes, we are doing well. When I listen about Dr. Ronnie, that how he's traveling in this age, I was remembering last year, 2024, when we were stuck in Nepal for 7 days, 6 days, and how much we tired. But really, this is the grace of God that he's carrying and he's traveling. And even he's in, maybe he's tired, but still he's preaching with powerful word. So I'm so thankful for his life. And I want to say that whenever we come to this platform and when we see you speaking, it's really encourage us because I am 34 years old, and when I see you are just double in my age. But when I see your energy, when I see your passion, it's always encourage me. And when I see you, I can see myself that where God is taking me. So I'm so thankful for Dr. Ronnie and all the elders, all the pastors in ABC family. So I just want to speak something which God has put in my heart this morning. And what Dr. Ronnie was saying about who told you? Who told you? In Mark 7, verse 14, there is a scripture, it is written there. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand." It is very important that to ignore the voice which is coming from the world, which is coming from our bank balance, which is coming from our circumstances, and listen what God is speaking. And this is the platform. I can testify myself that whenever I attend, God speaks to me. Whoever is speaking, that doesn't matter if that is Dr. Ronnie, Pastor Sassin, Pastor Malcolm. Whenever somebody is speaking through this platform, I always feel that God is speaking to me what he wants right now in my life, what is the demand of God. So it is very important now what the situation is happening all around the world. It is important we must listen what God is speaking to us. So I'm so excited. And we are so thankful to the Lord because in 2025 we can see the acceleration, we can see the grace of God in doctrines. God is revealing the word and people are growing, they are maturing, maturity is coming to the church, they are growing in the word. So we are so thankful to the Lord and we are excited as we heard that the ABC school is going to be start, and I'm so excited to attend this ABC school. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for this place. Thank you, Dad. Thank you so much.
Amen. Well done, son. Well done. Just keep up the good work in India and just keep the gospel banner high up. Is Pastor Hasigan around here from Mauritius? Pastor Hasigan?
Hello, good morning, Dad.
Morning. Good morning.
And good morning to everyone. Thank you for this morning and sharing your life to us. And encouraging us this year to continue building on the spiritual on the apostolic culture. So definitely, like you are saying, we believe that there will be much advancement. We praise the Lord for all our spiritual brothers around the world. Listening to them also is very encouraging. So. We really appreciate you, Dad, what you are doing, and we really want to follow your footsteps, how you are a man of the word. Whatever the circumstances, whatever is happening, there is no priority except fulfilling God mandates on your life. So you are really setting the footstep for us, and we'd like to walk in the in such a footstep. I'm grateful to the Lord to having you and Mom Viola as my spiritual parent, because it's not just when you are talking, but when we see your life, when we see the way the you're conducting yourself and the way you're passionate for the body of Christ, for the advancement. So it's like you're not living for yourself, you're living for others, you're living for me. So I would like to thank you for that, and that really encourages to build properly and to build accurately. In Mauritius, we thank God that we also, with your encouragement, with the word of wisdom you are sharing with us, we're trying our best to build accordingly. And when we know that there will be much progress also. It's been like now a full year that I'm been with you as your spiritual son, but so much things have already took place. We have been through last year a phase where, like you shared earlier, when you shifted in the apostolic, people left the church, etc. You mentioned about the church in Dubai. So we also had this experience last year, but we thank God that He has been very good to us. And in the same year, we recovered the same amount of people. So those who left and were trying to share some news about us, that false doctrine, etc. But the Lord was so good that He, like you mentioned, it's the Lord that add in the church. And we have seen this already. And thank you also for your encouragement and prayer. I would like to share with my other spiritual brothers that you sent me to Madagascar, and by God's grace, we have good report coming, and we definitely feel that this year will be a year of progress, even in a tough country like Madagascar. You've been there, you saw how the country is and how difficult it is. But God has made some wonderful contacts. We met some wonderful people who are really passionate. They are not learning the word, but they have a passion for God, and they've been waiting for such a season to visit them. So we thank the Lord for them, and we are looking forward for this whole year to sit and learn every Monday morning, and to receive the grace on all over your life. And thank you, our love and regards to you, and thank you, Dad.
Thank you. Yeah, that's also exciting news from Madagascar. God has started to to shift things there. That's awesome. And so we're looking forward this year, mid-year, sometimes. We haven't firmed the date yet that we'll be going to Madagascar. So we're really looking forward to that time. But I think our next important assignment starts on the 31st of March in Dubai, and that assignment is orchestrated by God. As it's a global it's a global conference, and all ABC family leaders, elders from ABC family, the founder, chairman, president, CEO will be there himself, and you'll notice that if you can make it to come to the Dubai conference, you'll notice that the pattern of ministry is now changing from monologue to dialogue, where we're going to dialogue, we're going to break new ground is how we present the Apostolic Reformation. So it's going to be interesting. Last year was 3 days. We had three powerful days, three successful days, much talking about how much so many people learned out of that conference. And we believe this year, therefore, we decided to go 4 days because we give more time. People will hear more and make the conference more fruitful. People have more of the word. And so we're looking for that's the next great event after which we have an assignment in Hungary, but it's too soon to have everybody join us because we're just going to break new ground when we go to Hungary. Some maybe one of the ABC elders has been there before, and he has pioneered and he's done some work there. But we thank God we're going to strengthen what's happening there. So God bless you. I think it's so good to see you all, and we'll meet again next week, Monday. That'll be from we'll meet. I'll be in Dubai when we meet. But bless you. Take care. And just continue to be faithful. Continue to be faithful. Pastor Des, would you close in prayer for us?
Thank you, Dad. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be gathered together as a family. And Lord, we thank you for strengthening Dad and Mom and bringing healing to their body in this time. Father, the work that they have done in Nepal, we thank you, Lord, for good fruit to be born from what they have sown. And Lord, we thank you for your nature to be manifest in all of the kingdom communities that we are involved in and we are building. Father, we bless you this morning and we thank you for helping each one of us and each family, Lord, and each household that is represented to build accurately and to represent you well on the earth. May your kingdom come and may your will be done on the earth through us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you all. God bless you. And we'll catch up again soon. Take care.